And there are probably some vipers even here tonight. These multitudes wanted to take part in the spiritual movement of John's day, but they were unwilling to surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were profaning the name of the Lord. They were doing the very same thing that they were doing in Malachi's day. I want to come and take part in this religious movement, but I don't want to surrender everything. I want to offer God a half of a sacrifice. I won't give Him my whole life. I'll give Him 50%. And John looked out and saw their heart and said, "You generation of vipers!" They were profaning the name of the great King. Jesus said, "Whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Did you know that no one ever adds Jesus to their life? No one ever adds Jesus to their life. The only ones who will escape the wrath of God and come through the pearly gates are those who surrender their life to Jesus. Jesus never helps us to accomplish our purposes. Did you know that? We help Him to accomplish His. They were vipers. Now a viper is different than a serpent. Jesus sometimes called men serpents. But a viper is a poisonous snake. It's poison. These people are poisonous. Do you know why they're poisonous? Because they're deceiving themselves into thinking they're all right. Hey, we went down to John's baptism. We're interested in spiritual things. They were poisoning their own heart and mind, thinking that they were all right when they were unwilling to surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what's worse than that? They were poisoning others too. And isn't the church today full of poison? Half converts, people looking at them, wondering why they don't offer to the great King a full sacrifice. He is worthy of all that we have. People sitting in pews in churches, many of them even here tonight, who have offered a half sacrifice to the Lord. They're still living life for their own pleasure and purposes. A generation of vipers. This kind of Christianity has never repented and offered up 100%. And it's poisonous. It not only damns them, but those who watch them and associate with them. Vipers, profaning the Lord with a half-hearted surrender. One foot in the world and one foot in the church. That's the kind of people that were coming to John. "John, baptize me. I want to take part in this religious movement. I don't want to be left out, but I still want to hold on to the world." You viper. And I tell you this tonight, if you want to hold on to the world and hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, you're a viper too! A viper! About 25 years ago, I think it was, I was at a restaurant in Houston, Texas, and I had a job at a downtown Houston. I was a young man, 22 years old. You know how it is, 22 years old, working in a high-rise in Houston, Texas. I was from Ohio, and pride, proud, my heart, calling back home, writing. Yes, I'm working in a high-rise in Houston, Texas. Love to play golf. One night I got on the phone and called from JoJo's restaurant in Houston, Texas, and I told my parents. I said, "I'm giving that all up." I had hopes even in my own heart of a reconciliation with an old girlfriend at that time, and I had to give that up. I had to give up the golf. I gave up my pride and my job that I had, and I said to my parents, "Mom, Dad, I'm going to go and I'm going to give my life to serve the Lord Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. And I made a decision that night to surrender all I had for Jesus' sake and the gospel. And I can testify to this to you tonight, it's been a good 25 years. I had to go up to a Bible school. And matter of fact, I went to my pastor after that and I said, "Pastor, I want to give my life to the Lord Jesus." I was attending a Baptist church in Houston, Texas. I said, "What do I do?" I didn't have any idea what to do. He said, "Go to Bible school." So I said, "Where?" He said, "Up in Chicago." So I got an application, filled it out, and went off to Bible school. And here I was, high school graduate, college graduate with a business degree. And God sent me up there to Gary, Indiana, of all places. Does anyone know what Gary, Indiana is like? Delivering newspaper for the Gary Post Tribune, driving my little vehicle 7 days a week, throwing papers on porches. But I went up there and I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I began to learn how to serve Him and labor for Him. If you're sitting here tonight and you want to partake in this thing called Christianity and you're not willing to lose your life for Jesus' sake and the Gospels, you're a viper. You ever thought about that? You say, "Well, that's back 2,000 years ago. That doesn't apply to me." Yes, it applies to you tonight. Verse number 9. "And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." Now we got a lot of people today cutting off branches. We got a lot of people cutting off twigs, but very few are going after the root. Now I do some wood cutting in the winter to supplement my income, and I know what it's like to go out and cut a tree down, to leave a stump maybe 4 or 5 feet out of the ground. Next year, you're going to have shoots coming out of that stump. A lot of people today, they come to the Lord and they sacrifice 70-80% of their life and they think they cut most of the tree down, but they never cut the root. Those same sins come popping up again. Notice what John the Baptist said, "And now also the axe is laid under the root." My friend, if you cut the root, you'll kill the tree. And that's where God wants you to kill it. At the root. What is the root tonight? Let me tell you what the root is. Revelation 4:11 says, "God made you and me for His pleasure. But you want to live for your own." And that's the root issue tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ deserves all you have for His purposes. I remember reading a story of a little boy who took some time, a lot of time, and made a little wooden boat. And he went out to the river near where he lived and he wanted to test the boat out. And so he put the boat out down into the water and he began to watch this little boat floating around in the water. And it kind of got away from him and it got caught in the current and began to go down the stream of the river. And he was very anxious and fearful, and the boat sailed on and he couldn't get to it. And finally he had to just let it go and it went on down the river. A few weeks later, he was at the town down the river with his father, and he went by a pawn shop and he saw his little boat sitting in the front window of the store. And he got excited. He went into the store and he said, "Sir, that's my boat out there in the window." And the man said, "No, it's not your boat. It's my boat. I bought that boat. Someone brought it in and I bought it." The young man said, "Sir, how much would it cost for me to buy it again?" The man said, "I believe it was $3. So that little boy went home and he labored and he labored and he labored. Finally, he got $3 together and he came back and he presented the $3 to that store owner and he took his boat and he walked outside and he looked down at that boat and he said, "Boat, now you're twice mine. I made you and I redeemed you." Listen to this tonight. God made you for His pleasure. Amen. You went your own way. God redeemed you for His pleasure. Don't go your own way. If God made you for His pleasure and He redeemed you for His pleasure, if you're not going to live for His pleasure, you're not going to see heaven. you cannot still go your own way? If you lay the axe to the root of the tree, you'll kill the tree, it'll be dead. Romans 6:1 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead? How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For he that is dead is freed from sin. D.L. Moody said this, if a person continues to sin, it's proof of an idle profession. Charles Spurgeon warned his students this, if the professed convert distinctly and deliberately declares that he knows the Lord's will but does not mean to attend to it, you are not to pamper his presumption, but it is your duty to assure him that he is not saved. Do you imagine that the gospel is magnified or God glorified by going to the worldlings and telling them that they may be saved this moment by simply accepting Christ as their Savior while they are wedded to their idols and their hearts are still in love with sin? If I do so, I tell them a lie, pervert the gospel, insult Christ, and turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. John said, it's time to lay the axe to the root. You know, in the Old Testament, there was sometimes excuses for sin. Paul said it this way, at those times God winked at their ignorance, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You know, there's no excuse anymore. We're to lay the axe to the root. Whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has, he cannot be my disciple. When Jesus spoke, if you listen to his words, he was always laying the axe to the root. If any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. What's the fruit of your life? Fornication? Uncleanness? That's sexual impurity. Inordinate affections, that means passions or lust of the mind. Covetousness, always wanting more. Anger, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying, foolish talking and jesting, disobedient to parents, unthankful, gluttonous, false accusers, complainers, bitter, cowardice. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down. Look at your life for a minute. What kind of fruit is coming out of it? If you've laid the axe to the root, you're going to see good fruit. But if you've never laid the axe to the root, you're still going to see that kind of fruit. You might have cut off some pretty big branches. You might have trimmed the tree pretty good. You might even have come down and tried to swipe off the stump. But God is interested to get to that root. You surrendering your whole life for His pleasure and His purpose. Jesus said, whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. You cannot have your cake and eat it too. Did you know that? You cannot live for this life and have eternal life. Make your choice. To repent is to lose your life. Verse 10, and the people ask him, saying, evidently his message got to their heart. What shall we do then? Verse 12, then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Verse 14, and the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and what shall we do? That's a good question. Brother Mark brought it up here tonight. What shall we do? I think of a man by the name of Saul who was on the road to Damascus, and as he saw the great King, amen, as he saw the Lord Jesus Christ in all of His glory, he bowed down his knees and he looked up to the King and he said, "What shall I do? What do You want me to do, Lord?" And I think it's interesting that in 4 days he was preaching Christ. There are people who have professed to be converted for 20 years who still are not preaching Christ. There's something very wrong about that. He was preaching Christ. He gave his life for Jesus' sake and the gospel. I'd like to ask this question tonight. Isn't it true that Jesus said, "Pray for laborers for the harvest"? Isn't it true that His heart went out to the harvest fields? And He the only time I see in the Bible, He turned to His disciples and said, "I want to give you a prayer request. Pray for laborers for the harvest." I have a question for you tonight, young people. And it's a good question. You ought to think about it. If God's heart is to get out there into the harvest and bring in the lost, and if your heart is truly surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, where are all the missionaries? Where are all the elders? Where are all the street preachers? Where are all the full-time workers? Where are all the young people whose hearts are given over to the gospel's sake and the Lord Jesus Christ? Where are they? Isn't it true that that heart still wants to live for this world? Isn't it true that that heart still wants to be married, have children, do the things that you want to do, accomplish the things that you want to do, and yes, add a little bit of church to it? You know, you see on these bumper stickers, "Jesus is my co-pilot." That's the philosophy of the day. Jesus is never our co-pilot. He's the pilot. He's still the great King. See Him? God the Father and Jesus Christ at His right hand. He's the great King. Some of you might be wise tonight to get down real low and come humbly and trembling before the great King and ask, "What should I do?" I guarantee you this, if you do that, He'll put you to work. Well, each response here deals with the root issue of what life is. Let's read down through these. Verse 10, the people asked Him, saying, "What shall we do then?" This is many of the multitudes. He answered and said unto them, "He that has two coats, let him impart to him that hath none." How many of you have two coats tonight? Uh-oh. Covetousness. "He that has two coats, let him impart unto him that has none." You know, the vast majority of the people, John the Baptist was saying, "Hey, why don't you deal with your covetousness? Covetousness is your life." My little son Ezra, about a week or two ago, in his homeschooling, what the teacher, the itinerary had asked him to write a little story about who he was, what he liked. He wrote about 3 or 4 sentences. It started out something like this: "My name is Ezra and I like stuff." Do you know Americans like stuff? And so John says, some of you who are covetous, you need to sell your coats or give them away. There was a rich young ruler who came to Jesus. He asked the same question: "What do you want me to do? I want to have eternal life." You know what Jesus said to him? "Go, sell all that you have." You know why He said that? Because riches was life. He was saying the very same thing: "Whosoever shall lose his life shall save it." Rich young man, do you want to save your life eternally? Then lose your riches, because riches is life to you. Let me ask you the question tonight: what is life to you? What is it to you? To me, it was golf. What is it to you? Is it hunting? Is it building a business? Is it acquiring riches? Is it making a reputation? Is it getting married? What is life to you? What would John the Baptist have said to you? Well, the soldiers asked him, what shall we do? Excuse me, the publicans were next. Well, you know what publicans do for a living, don't you? They extort money. They're the tax collectors, and their life is a life of extorting money. Guess what John the Baptist put his finger on? Yeah. Stop extorting money. The soldiers came and said, what shall we do? You know what a soldier's life is? Tough guy. Marines, Rangers, we're the tough guys. All right, if that's your life, do violence to no man. He was laying the axe to the root. Lose your life. Whatever it is, lose your life. Repent. What is life to you? Verse 15, and as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts as John, whether he was a Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now John had a very good perspective of himself here. The servant would come and unlatch the shoes and wash the feet. John said, listen, when I see this great king, I'm not worthy to go and unlatch the shoe. Do you know that life is not about you and I? Sometimes it takes us a long time to figure that out. Life is not about you and me, it's about Him. I flew to Columbia a few months ago, and as I was up in the air, I looked down upon all the little houses and little people, and it just reminded me again that, Jerry, life is not about you. You're just so small and so insignificant. Life is about the Lord Jesus Christ, the great King. John said, I'm so small that I'm not even worthy to come and unloose his shoe latchet. Some of you tonight think you're pretty big. John mentions two baptisms here. He talks about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is for those who repent and lose their life and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. The baptism of fire are for those who reject repentance and complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be a baptism of fire. God is separating the two even now. Verse 15, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. That fan is a winnowing shovel. And back in those days, they would take the wheat and they would thrash the wheat, and they would take the winnowing shovel and get a scoop of wheat and throw the wheat up in the air, and the wind would blow the chaff. And the wheat would fall back down to the ground. And they'd get another shovel and they'd throw it up, another shovel out and throw it up in the air. And they'd do this continually. And it would separate the wheat from the chaff. And in a sense tonight, the Lord is separating the wheat from the chaff. He's taking you all, throwing you up in the air. And those who have truly surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, they have truly repented like the prodigal son. That's the grain that falls back down to the threshing floor. But the chaff are those who sit here tonight and they know, and God bears witness, that they've made only a 50% offering. They've brought that which is lame, that which is torn, that which was diseased to the great King. And my friend tonight, if you bring an offering of your life to the great King, you bring all of it. The baptism of the Holy Ghost and the baptism of fire. God made you for His pleasure. Because of our sin, we walked away from Him. God gave His Son Jesus to redeem us, to return us to our original purpose, that we should henceforth not live unto ourselves, but unto Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Yet John says, if you refuse a full surrender, there remains nothing left but a fire unquenchable. And finally, verse 18, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. I want to close with Peter, who stood in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, before many people just like this. Many of these multitudes which John the Baptist called vipers, he stood before them one day. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, he said these words, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I look out in America. I look out in the church. And I look out to you tonight. And I say to you the same thing. Save yourself. Save yourselves from this untoward generation, this generation of vipers. This generation are coming and offering in Christianity a 50% offering with one foot in the world and one foot in the church that's profaning the name of the Lord. Save yourself from this untoward generation. We need some zealots. Some people that are real. Much of this generation is going to hell. Did you know that? Inside and outside the church, much of this generation is going to hell. There's no longer any excuse for us to profane the name of the Lord. I want to leave you with this tonight. If you come to the Lord and you're not offering 100%, if you're offering up half, 70%, He's worth more than that. As a matter of fact, if you give Him everything, that's just only reason. And except you repent tonight, you shall certainly perish. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that You would separate the wheat from the chaff. By Your Word, that You would minister to our hearts in such a way as to assure the believer and to make the unbeliever uncomfortable, Lord. Help us not to profane Your name, Lord. You're a great King. And You're worthy of everything. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You'll, according to Your will tonight as You sit in heaven, You'll accomplish Your will here on this earth. Whatever that may be, Lord, we surrender to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to have a song of invitation. Number 547, I trust you know this song. I want to give an invitation tonight. I thought of D.L. Moody, who one night decided not to give an invitation in Chicago, and many of his people left, went out, and lost their life in the fire, great fire of Chicago. And he said that night, he said he would never do that again. Now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation. Have you repented? Has the axe been laid to the root? Really? You come tonight, be with the Lord as He directs you. Let's stand to our feet and sing number 547. The altars are open. Anyone wants to have some counseling? There are counselors here that can help you. I encourage you tonight to save yourself from this wicked generation that we're living in. And surrender everything. And repent. Let's sing number 547. You come as God leads you.
Come ye sinners, Lord, and lead me.
tonight to acknowledge. Don't be embarrassed tonight to acknowledge that you're chaff. Oh, I love to tell the story of the man in the Bible who had a withered hand and he hid it in his coat. And he wouldn't bring it forth. He was embarrassed. One day Jesus showed up at the synagogue. And he was there in the synagogue with all of his friends. And I'm sure perhaps in his heart he thought, what if Jesus asked me to show my hand or to stretch forth my hand? I'll be embarrassed. Well, as the crowds gathered around, he heard those words he wished he never would have heard. He heard Jesus say, stretch forth that hand. And he had a decision to make. Either I stretch forth my hand and show that withered hand and embarrass myself, or I keep it hidden and walk out of here without a healed hand. But he made the right decision, amen? And he just stretched out his hand. And I'm sure everyone looked there and was aghast at how ugly it looked. But because he was willing to say, I'll be honest, and stretch forth my hand, the Bible says Jesus touched him and healed him. There's some of you sitting here tonight and you know that you've never offered unto God a full sacrifice. You've never truly repented like the prodigal son. But if you stretch forth your hand, it may be embarrassing. But I want to offer you tonight a healing. God wants to heal you. I would encourage you tonight to humble yourself. Just acknowledge who you are and where you're at. Let's sing one more verse. Down at the bottom, verse number 5.
Saints and angels joined in concert chant the praises of the Lamb, while the blissful seat of heaven sweetly echo with His name.
Heavenly Father, we pray for those, Lord, who've been humble enough to acknowledge their need. I pray, God, that You'll meet all their needs, and may You accomplish Your will and purpose in each one of their lives. Give them the grace, Lord, to surrender all. You're a great King, and You're worthy of everything that we have, body, soul, and spirit. May we present those things to You freely and joyfully. Lord, bless each one that has come. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Ephrata Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.